time for the ladies to be heard. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the 8th episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I am joined by my super sexy co-host, IFBB pro figure competitor, Chrissy Chin. Well, Chrissy, always exciting weekends over here. How about you?
I know. Well, I didn't even know you were going to another show this past weekend until you were like, oh, I'm at a show. I was like, what?
It's amazing. It's amazing shit. What happened was, it was very weird. You know, I do hair and makeup and tanning, and I had agreed to do that for competitors, which I thought were competing in New York, which turned out to be in New Haven, Connecticut, which is 2 hours away. And I personally, wow, I was like, oh, boy, this is an all-day thing. So I'm tanning people on Friday, and then I'm finding myself driving out to Connecticut 2 hours, and it was actually amazing weather. So I just have to note, I'm from Danish descent, okay, and I have zero tan. I'm as white as a ghost, and I'm sure Jeff is laughing right now, as everybody should be, because I had the top down on my car for 2 hours in the sun, and I get to the show, and people are like, yeah, you're looking a little red, and you know how sunburn comes out like hours later? By the end of the show, Chrissy, I absolutely look like a 2-year-old that went out into the sun. I'm burnt beyond belief. It's like starting to blister all over my upper body. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. You need to rub aloe all over you.
I do. It's out of control. I mean, it turned out to be a very good show, actually. Elise Firestone actually placed second at the Fitness America. It was at the Fitness Atlantic, actually. So she had, you know, placed second. My girls did well, and a couple of guys I was helping placed third. And so it was you know, really a great time. But oh my gosh, the drive home, I'm like, it's starting to sting, Chrissy. Sunburn is stinging.
See, that's the worst. Yeah, but you don't realize until, like you said, hours later. Then you're like, wow, I really did get either tan or I really got burnt.
And people at the show are like, have you ever heard of sunblock? I'm like, hey, give me, you know what? I wasn't thinking. You know, I put it on my face. I put it on my face. I just didn't put it on my shoulders. Crazy.
Oh, wow. Well, I was lucky. I had a restful weekend. You know, I'm just prepping and training for the show because now I have 4 weeks left to go. Wow. So I'm getting close. So I've just been focused on that. But I must say, I did enjoy myself visiting you and being there in the studio. We had such an amazing time. So thank you and Dave for your hospitality. You guys are awesome.
And you did an In the Iron Asylum training, am I right? While you were here?
Yes. Yeah. We made it over to Bev and Steve's Powerhouse Gym in Syosset, which I love to train at. And Troy and I did a training of In the Iron Asylum and had a blast. And Sean's awesome to work with. So big thanks to Sean and Jeff. You guys are great.
Great. Is it up on the website yet?
I don't think so. I haven't seen
it yet. They gotta get on that. Because I want to see, people want to see Chrissy Chin in the Iron Asylum, I might add.
So do I.
You know, the whole world is waiting, Chrissy.
Is Jeff's fault?
I know. It's Dave's
fault.
At least, you know, right? And then, Chrissy, I do have to mention, there's some very controversial stuff happening on RX Muscle with Miss Carolyn Bryant. Did you check it out at all? It's in the pit.
Well, you know, she's always a little vocal, and then I saw a little combating in a couple threads, but I haven't made it down to the pit. I remember you told me something's going on in the pit. I haven't made it down to that area, but even in
it's
other
good.
Forms.
It's entertainment, Chrissy. You might want to check it out. It's a little bit interesting.
Oh, I'm definitely going to look at it now.
You know, today we do have an amazing show, and it's really dear to my heart, and I know we got to do something on the flip side next time, and we got to get people like Devonna Medina and people that have disappeared from the figure and fitness scene. But today we are actually doing a Where Are They Now, and these are people that I have looked up to my whole bodybuilding career, and it's Miss Melissa Coates, who is now in entertainment wrestling, and she was absolutely one of my favorites while I was growing up. I mean, she probably could be one of my motivating forces into the bodybuilding world.
You know, and when you first told me, you're like, Chrissy, let's do a Where Are They Now? I was like, wow, that's really awesome. Because you always wonder, whatever happened to them, you know? And so our other guest is actually another, you know, long-standing female professional bodybuilder, and she is Robin Parker. So she is, you know, an artist, and she was a sculptor. I know she's into photography now, so it'll be interesting to see what she's up to now.
Yep, I know. This is going to be a good one, and I know we're going to do shows like this again, because people, I don't know, you can forget, but you can never really forget these people. You know what I mean? They can become distant memories, but once you bring them back, it's like they become so much larger than life. So
yeah,
you know, I want to thank again ALRI Industries for their support. And, you know, I got to tell you, Chrissy, you know, the talk again was everybody wants chained out. I got emails from Rob, who's our sales guys. You know, he's like, oh my gosh, Colette, if you do not put aside. And I got an email from Troy, because there, it's like getting down to people are going to die if they don't get their chained out over here. And it's great. It's a great, you know, you think ALRI has some great stuff. I mean, just some great products. Really, really good stuff.
Well, the good news is that Pornstar is actually hitting the warehouse this week.
Oh, really? Do send it.
Yeah, so
we need some
Pornstar
over here at the Palumbo household.
So, you know,
and I know Jeff's going to have the return of Sarah soon.
Send me at least 2 bottles. Thank you.
Thank you, Chrissy. Pornstar baby.
So I gotta make my list. Jeff, the producer, the Palumbo household.
Yes.
We can't forget John Romano out of Florida.
Oh, Romano needs it definitely. You know. I also want to thank Amy's Conquest, www.amysconquest, again, for their support. And, you know, again, we are always looking for sponsors. You know, there's a lot of people that believe in what we're doing. Come on board. Send us an email. You know, support what we're doing.
Absolutely. And we thank all the people for their support already.
Well, you know, Chrissy, let's roll into one of our favorite subjects, or our favorite topics, I might say, for the show. Did you know what is going on?
Well, you know, us at Muscle Girls, Inc., we continue to go places, Colette, that no other internet radio shows really want to go.
And we say it, best. If it starts with a P and ends with a... You know what I mean? We're on it.
Well, Colette, this one I found quite amazing. And this comes from your hometown in Michigan.
Good old Detroit. It's making some waves.
Yes. So a metal, listen to this, a metal underwire in a woman's bra actually deflected a bullet that was fired at her during a break-in at a neighbor's home. So can you believe that? She was looking out the window and three men had fired a shot, right? And then the bullet actually hit the underwire of her bra, so the bullet never even penetrated her skin.
Wow. All the reasons.
Do not go braless.
Gosh, Kristen, I stopped wearing underwires. Maybe I should go back. I mean, they seem to be, you know. Wow.
So I thought that was quite interesting.
You know, this one is in Minnesota. You got to love the Midwest, man. They got it all. You know, a state investigated that a surgeon performed an appendectomy twice, okay, and mistakenly removed a piece of fatty tissue instead, okay? This is the first time. And then they realized 2 days after the operation that he had not removed an appendix. So the patient's complaining of a fever and was ordered back into surgery, but now it was too late because the appendix had ruptured. So, you know, they spent 11 days in the hospital with complications from the second surgery. So, I mean, can you imagine? This is what is happening. I know. And, you know, the health department actually found no evidence that the hospital did anything wrong. But obviously there's complaints against the doctors. And this is going to be an interesting one to see how it plays out. But I have seriously heard stuff like this. You know, they operate on the wrong shoulder. They do something on the wrong knee. I mean, it really is scary out there.
Oh, my. I just can't. That doctor needs to go back to Human Gross Anatomy 1.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, well, this one was quite interesting. In Berlin, Germany, okay? So now you know how everyone's worried about the economy and the way the economy's going. So it's actually affected the professional prostitutes in Germany. And there's over 400,000 prostitutes in Germany, and their revenues generate about 14 billion euros, which is $18 billion in U.S. dollars. So can you believe now what they're doing is they're actually trying to stimulate the economy by providing, you know, marketing tools and rebates and gimmicks to help, you know, bring money back into the industry. So they're doing things like free shuttle buses, discounts for seniors and taxi drivers, like all day passes and all these other marketing strategies to get the money going again in that industry.
Well, how about this? What if you were a teacher? This happened in Washington, okay? 5-year-old student is heading home and he realizes that his backpack is a little bit smelly, okay? This is, you know, it's something pretty vulgar smelling. So he gets home and he finds that there's a clear plastic bag filled with fecal matter. It's wrapped up in his, yes. And what happened was the teacher said they found a little turd was on the floor and put it in his backpack.
Oh, and, my.
Yes. And, you know, she claimed that the boy was having, you know, these accidents. So, you know, how inappropriate is that?
How horrible. You know, it's bad enough that he's having accidents, let right. alone let's rub it in his face and take his poop and put in his bag.
I mean, Chrissy, people, you know, as a teacher, I'm sure you can get frustrated, but that's not a way to handle it. The poor little kid is, you know.
What was she thinking?
Not good.
Now let's roll back into the Midwest. Why are all these did you knows coming from the Midwest?
Because the Midwest is a crazy place.
It is.
I had to get out of there.
So did Troy.
Yeah, I know. There you go.
So this one happened in Akron, Ohio. So a 52-year-old woman actually took a job as an exotic dancer, but she needed to make ends meet. And on her first day of work, a jealous coworker with a stiletto shoe decided to go attack that lady. So the lady received multiple cuts to her face, and she left the local hospital with seven staples, according to the police. So supposedly the other girls were upset that she was coming in there and it'd be more competition, and they said they had too many dancers there.
She's 52, Chrissy. Give her a break, man.
I know. And she's still willing to go out there and shake her thing, do her thing, make money.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Chrissy, let's roll into what's new with the forums. What do we got? What do you got for me this week?
Well, this week's forum question actually comes from our Muscle Central forum on rxmuscle.com, and it comes from a very pretty gal that we both know. She actually took the overall figure title last year at both the New York Metropolitans and the Eastern USA's, and that is Miss Kat Ramirez. We love Kat.
We love Kat. She's our number one species girl over there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know. I always see her working hard at the species booth and at the Arnold, too. Actually, Troy did a video of her from the Arnold that came out really good. I think he put it on YouTube, so if you haven't seen it, you have to. Yeah, it's really
great. Troy's quite the videographer, Chrissy.
You know, he's teaching himself. He sits in front of a computer, and one day he's like, he knew nothing about video, and then all of a sudden, 5 hours later, he had 5 videos. I'm like, where did you learn how to do that? Where is that? You know, I'm like, wow.
He's good. He's resourceful.
I'm impressed. Well, her question to us, Colette, is, hi, ladies. I have two questions. What advice would you give us amateur competitors as far as researching for a legit photographer, and what questions do you ask before doing a shoot? Thanks.
Wow, I wish I had somebody advising me early on in my career, because I made some very bad choices. It's a very weird proposition that happens when you are out there and doing physique competitions and you don't know and you don't really know what you're getting into. And at this time, this is 10 years ago, Chrissy, and I didn't know the power of the internet. In fact, I was just barely checking email, you know, and it was, you know, I was taking photos and I felt so good. It was the first time I'd ever seen my body in shape, and I felt so good about how I looked. Mm-hmm. And when a photographer says, oh, you know, what if you don't really know what you're doing, and these guys all like, oh, you know, it's artistic, and you take photos that you really think are never going to appear anywhere but your own use or just your own, you know, hey, this is me and this is how I look and I'm really proud of myself. And then some of them ended up on the internet, which I've you know, been vehemently trying to get all records of these photos off the internet, and they sometimes still come up. But you really have to be very, very smart about the decisions you make. And I've had this hit other women too, who, you know, sign away their lives and do things in photographs that they really wish they hadn't. And remember that I believe truly, if anything is being photographed that you cannot show your mother and that you do not feel completely comfortable with, then don't shoot it. Because why shoot it? I can't tell you how many times, like, oh, don't worry, just take some of these, no, you know, it's not worth it. You know, everything that you take, if it's being photographed or it's being said or it's being, it can surface. And, you know, I mean, it's really, you have to be very smart and be in control of every situation, because even legit photographers can push you to places that you really don't want to go. You know, and you have to be comfortable with where you want to go in these, how do you want to be portrayed in these photographs? Mm-hmm. You know, so what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with everything you said, and I think, you know, I think before deciding to work with a photographer, maybe do a little background search on see who the photographer's worked with, maybe speak to other fellow competitors that have worked with that photographer and their experiences. You know, that's what I sometimes do too. I'll be like, oh, have you ever shot with, you know, this photographer, and hear someone's feedback. And then when you decide to shoot with a photographer, ask them, okay, well, what type of shoot is going to be? You know, what type of posing are we going to do? What type of outfits do you want me to bring? Just so you're a little more comfortable. And I know a lot of them make you sign like a waiver or release now. So really, read it before you sign it, you know, because some of these girls are like, oh, I didn't know that, you know, like pictures would be sold. And we'll read everything that's in print before you sign your name to it.
And don't be just, you know, afraid to speak your mind. If this, if you're shooting for a particular website that has racy material and you're not willing to go, say it. Up front, be on the phone saying, look, I don't want to do that. Do not pressure me into this. I do not do nude photography. I don't want to do it. And I mean, if they're a good photographer and they're legit, they'll completely respect you. If they start, if they start with one of those and they start coercing you, you're not interested. You're just not interested. You know, that's
it. Another point I wanted to mention was I know a couple of competitors said that they shot with the photographer and he got upset when they brought their significant other. So maybe another question you might want to ask before doing a shoot is, Do I come alone, or can I bring someone to help me? Can I bring my significant other? You know, it's all these little things that you want to ask way before you go into the shoot, so that way you're comfortable and the pictures come out well.
Yeah, because
you know, or the video comes out well.
Who wouldn't want extra help on the set? Unless somebody's distracting, you know. So there should be no, you know, issues with that. So just really, I think the points are: who have they worked with? Get feedback from the people that they have worked with. Check out their website if they're. Who are they shooting for? You know, I know people are on One Model Place and things like that, and they get these people that are like, yeah, for a portfolio or whatever. Be aware that some of these people just want to get you alone and take photos of you. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it's completely a waste of time.
Yeah.
So do your research for sure.
Absolutely.
All right,
that
Chrissy.
That's a very good question.
Yeah, very good. Keep them coming, please. We love these. All right, Chrissy, listen, let's take a quick little two-minute break and give our sponsor some love, and we will be right back.
See you then.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition. The Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Gina Aliotti, IFBB Figure Pro, and you are listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
Our first guest was one of the hottest faces in female bodybuilding back in the late 90s. She has graced both the Miss Olympia and the Miss International stage. She decided to leave competitive bodybuilding in 1999 to pursue entertainment wrestling. She presently wrestles for the WWE developmental territory, the Deep South Wrestling. Muscle Girls, Inc. welcomes the one and only Melissa Coates. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., Melissa.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Melissa, I must ask, we were actually talking about women and being on the covers of magazine covers, and you were actually lucky enough to be featured on a few covers, Muscle and Fitness, Muscle Mag International, Iron Man, just to name a few. What do you think about the current lack of women on covers these days?
Well, you know, this started happening actually at the end of, I had about 10 covers. I was really lucky. I was lucky to be one of the really muscular girls who also was still very girly looking. So that's why I was able to do so well at the particular time. But, you know, after there was a big emphasis, they started shifting emphasis from women's bodybuilding actually towards fitness and figure. Like, mm-hmm. I think the question you just asked was the lack of muscular women and lack of bodybuilder women on covers. That's what you asked, right?
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, I actually suffered from that whole shift in direction as well. Like, I would have to say I'm probably one of the girls who suffered a lot by the fact that they were promoting more fitness and figure over bodybuilding at the end of the 90s. I'm not sure why exactly it started happening, but I mean, you know, we all know what started happening is the girls were getting huge for bodybuilding by about 1998, 1999, and you know, the emphasis was just changed, I suppose, onto something that the powers that be or the magazine people thought was less controversial. Mm-hmm. And so what ended up happening is anyone who, you know, kind of promoted bodybuilding, which I represented bodybuilding, actually when there's that big switch over to fitness and figure, like, you know, Sharon Bruneau switched over, Kim Shazowski, I'm not sure who else did. But those were some of the big-name women bodybuilders who switched into fitness or figure, and I didn't want to. I always considered bodybuilding, it's the purest expression of the sport. Like, I know I was listening to one of Colette's interviews actually yesterday, and I know you said the same thing. It's like the traditional idea. It's just where it all began, and I think the purest expression of the sport, which was women's bodybuilding, and that's what I want to stay with, and that's what I represented. For whatever reason, the shift started turning towards less muscular women, and I don't really know why. I think it's just because, you know, most of the magazines and the judging, the federations are, you know, most of it's run by men, and men, of course, mm-hmm. for the most part, not really going to understand women, and they're going to kind of have their own angles. I'm not men bashing, but per se, like, perhaps it would be better if some women were running things or running a magazine or had a bigger say in things, but I think it's too bad because I know that it's still actually really, really popular.
I know, I love
women's
seeing
bodybuilding is incredibly popular. It's just it seems like it's kept quiet or something.
I know. I mean, Melissa, you are one of my like. It's really funny, but this is absolutely a true story. People would be like, you know, who are you inspired by, other female bodybuilders? And I would always, you were one of my favorites. I mean, I was like, Melissa Coates, that's loved your look.
Sweet. Thank you.
You know, you were one of the women that was muscular, but you still were beyond feminine, you know,
you've done the same thing. Like, you look great. So, I mean, that's awesome to, like, you know, get really muscular and work hard and still be girly. That's very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
You're obviously really successful at that, and that's what I was successful at, too. You know, I just think way back when they stopped putting muscular women on covers, even though it was so popular and that, it's just, I don't know. It's just like, it wasn't like punishing women bodybuilders or something, but it's more like they wanted to promote something that seemed less controversial or, you know, I mean, you're obviously a really independent, strong woman, and you probably state your mind and stuff like that. I think probably some people in the business, some men in the business, maybe find that hard to deal with,
yeah.
You know, and most women bodybuilders, because we bust our asses, you know, we kind of refer to people on a level of equality, not that I'm saying fitness girls don't, but, you know, there's different dynamics, I think, when you work really hard, like, you know how some people end up saying women are bitches when they're not really, you're just working hard.
Right,
like on a man working hard, no one's going to fault him. They're going to go, wow, that guy's determined and he's intense. On a woman, though, just because of the way society is or the way people are brought up or, I don't know, like, hopefully times are changing. But you know what I'm saying. It's kind of like a blurry line, and it's kind of hard to describe because whenever you get, like, the female sex, you get, like, issues of what's feminine, what's not, and what's masculine and what's not. And it's just, you know, there's always questions about that whole sort of gender identification or what's feminine, what's masculine. And you know, women's bodybuilding has, you know, obviously, especially since the late 90s with I don't know, the back and forth between 20% rule.
Oh, or, yeah, whatever.
You know, yeah, all that stuff on and off. Like, I wasn't competing at the time, but I would hear things here and there about that sort of thing. And, you know, like, of course, men don't go under those kind of stipulations. It just seems when it's women, it's just so much more subjective.
So take me back to 1999. You're at the Miss International, okay? What was going through your head when you said, this is it, I'm done, I need to do something else with my life, I really think I need to leave competitive bodybuilding and move on?
Well, I didn't really ever, like, retire from bodybuilding. I never really ever quit, like, and I still haven't quit. I'm still, like, a member, and I still plan on competing again someday.
Oh, I love that.
The whole thing, yeah, you know, like, I still love it. I just can't do it right now, just mostly because I was always really athletic as well, so I loved wrestling as well as a kid. So by the time after 1999, I already started to decide that I wanted to get into professional wrestling. And, you know, it's a pretty rough business, I got to be honest. But I loved doing it. I was always a really athletic kid. Like, I played tennis and I played rugby in university and stuff like that. So after that contest, I'd already kind of made the decision to start getting a little smaller because it's hard to wrestle and be that big. So that last show I did was really because at that point, the women competitors were getting really, really big. And yet the magazine people were telling me, okay, we don't want you to get really big. We still want to feature in Muscle and Fitness and Flex magazine and stuff like that, the other magazines. So they basically told me, okay, well, I'll keep competing, just don't get really big. And for me, I like to do well. I like to push myself hard, and the whole idea of getting ready for a show with that kind of, like, mentality, it kind of, it wasn't very it was hard to push myself. I mean, you know, Colette, you sound like you know, and Chrissy, too, I'm sure you guys really, really push yourselves, obviously, and to be told, like, to get ready for a show and not really push yourself hard and not really go to your potential in size, it kind of was neither here nor there, and it was really, I just kind of thought, wow, you know, I should come back to women's bodybuilding when it's past this phase, because it just seemed like it was getting to a really extreme phase where the girls were getting huge.
And it's such a weird place right now, let me tell you, because...
Is it even weirder
it's
now?
It's weirder now because you have such an ideal of Iris Kyle. How are you going to beat that? And then yet at the... you know, lesser tier pro shows, even they're rewarding some of the smaller women, but yet then when you get on the Olympia stage, you're done, you know what I mean, if you're not anywhere near Iris's, you know, size, shape, muscularity, then you kind of fall out of the, you know, at least the top six. It's in a weird transition.
It seems like it always is. The champ, you know, you really gotta knock him out. What's that phrase they say about, like, knocking out the champ? Like, you just really got to be that much better.
Yeah, you got to be that much better.
And you know, I've seen pictures of Iris, and yeah, she's incredible looking. You know, I'm not even quite sure who filled out the top six last year. But
there's some big girls, let me tell you. There's some big girls.
So are they even bigger than they were back in, like, the end of the 90s when Kim Shibeski was winning?
Yeah, Kim is hard to... She was definitely one of the... all time. There's another one that's back in the day. I would have loved to have seen her and Iris next to each other. That would have been an interesting face-off. Kim and Iris, yeah. Who would have won that one?
It's complicated. I could never really understand how Kim went from being, like, Miss Olympia muscle, and so, I don't know how she lost all that size, like, when she started doing, was it fitness? Or, yeah, it was fitness she did, right? Not figure.
Because, you know, I mean, you're still really muscular. I saw all your little crazy wrestling videos, so, I mean, you're very, you know, it's not like muscles, you know, when you train that hard.
Sticks, I have no idea. Like, I literally have hardly trained my upper body in the past, like, 7-8 years. Because, you know, my articles in the magazines, a lot of them were about my arm training because I was just really known.
Yeah,
you know, I was blessed with really good arms. But let me tell you, if you're trying to get into professional wrestling, like, you know, they'll think your arms are too big. Like, I, you know, actually I had people in the WWE telling me my arms were too big because I was bigger than some of the guys is what I would be told. So I stopped training my upper body. And it's still, you know, it's not as hard as it used to be, but it's still really big.
Oh, yeah, still muscular.
You just don't lose it. So I think she just, you know, I don't know, she just did a ton of cardio and just ate, like, small amounts of protein or what. But I could never believe, like, it was unreal, the transformation, like, Kim went through.
Yeah.
You know, but I could never... I couldn't do that switch, you know, and getting back to the whole idea about women bodybuilders not being on covers anymore, I get the feeling at the time, because I actually could no longer be in Muscle and Fitness. Like, that's what I was told from the business, because I was, women bodybuilders apparently were not being featured in Muscle and Fitness anymore. So I think my last cover, or last really good magazine stuff, well, I had a big spread in Muscle Mag not too long though. Bob's always really good for that. But back around 1998, when they started wanting to promote women's figure and fitness over bodybuilding, it seemed like if you were a professional woman bodybuilder, you were very limited with what you could do in Muscle and Fitness. Some of the weirder makeup, Flex was more reserved for the women bodybuilders. I can't remember when Steve Winterstrom's Flex and Femme ended up disappearing. Do you remember what year?
That was like, what, 2 years ago, I think?
Oh, was it 2 years? Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's still bad. I mean, that's just showing more and more of a shift.
Yep, and then they cut us out of Muscular Development last year when Dave left.
Oh,
so.
They did?
Yep. So it's
Oh, well, Iron Man is still...
Yeah, Iron Man is...
Like,
yep.
Bill Dobbins and...
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's good to see Iron Man doing... Yeah, I had a nice cover on Iron Man years ago, too. So, you know, they seem... I don't know. You know, and... Like I was getting back there, so I'm like, have so many thoughts shifting around, because it's been a long time since I've done an interview about the fitness business that I kind of got to jog my memory. Yeah, back when they didn't want to promote women's body, like, I there's just a feeling I got is that I represented professional women's bodybuilding. And if you put a professional woman bodybuilder on a cover, and someone, you know, say a girl who wants to get into training looks at the cover and goes, oh, yeah, I like how she looks. She's a bodybuilder. She's not like fitness or figure. She's a bodybuilder. I want to be a bodybuilder. So I think at that point they did not want to put women bodybuilders on covers of magazines, because I don't think they really wanted to encourage other women to get into women's bodybuilding over fitness or figure. So I think they started to put... you know, I'm sure some of the girls were still fairly muscular.
It's all the conspiracy theories, Melissa. There's like so many of them.
I guess there's
you have
a lot,
no idea.
I mean,
you should, yeah, I mean,
you,
Melissa.
You probably hear a lot more of the more recent stuff than I do. I've heard plenty of twos from.
Right. Take us back to being a child, though. Let's go back to like what got your head into this game and everything. And I know that you come from a very intelligent family, like doctors, lawyers.
Yeah,
So,
yeah. Well, no lawyers.
No lawyers. Everybody needs a lawyer in the family.
Exactly. But my dad's a doctor and my two brothers are doctors.
And and you thought about pursuing medical school, right?
Yeah, I did. Actually, I have a biology degree, and I originally wanted to be a veterinarian because I really loved animals. And then after getting, like, bitten on the heels, the Achilles tendons went too many times, I changed my mind.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, so then I kind of switched into maybe thinking about medicine. But I just always, you know, the first thing I got into was tennis. And, like, way back around that time when I was, you know, young, getting into tennis, like, I think Martina Navratilova was doing really well, and she, of course, was all power, you know, just a really great physique, really strong regimen on diet and weight training, and she was just amazing. So I started weight training for tennis because I love the power game, and then I progressed. I got really strong, like I was really strong, so then, you know, when I was at the gym, people encouraged me to get into bench pressing competitions, so I did that. So it started with weight training for tennis, then bench pressing, powerlifting. That was my best lift with benching. I never really got into the deadlifting or the heavy squatting because where I grew up in Thunder Bay, it was a big deal to be, you know, everyone was doing the bench press contest. You know, that's where men were men and, you know, the women were ass kickers too. So that was just the emphasis there. So I got into that, and then eventually I wanted to take it into professional bodybuilding, but I just loved the look. I just thought it was really exotic, and I thought it was, it just was really beautiful, and it's bizarre because I think when I was, I know, like, I don't know if Sports Illustrated had something on the first Women's Olympia when I was, I can't remember how old I was, but I remember being in public school looking at Sports Illustrated, and they had some of the girls from, must have been the first, some sort of women's bodybuilding contest, and of course they were kind of more like fitness size back then, or, you know, figure. I think the fitness competitors are actually bigger than figure girls nowadays, but... Anyway, I just remember looking in the magazine and going, wow, this is, like, amazing. So it's just kind of images that I remember from when I was growing up. And then, you know, tennis, I guess, to my family, was a little more acceptable than me lifting weights. Like, my mom was horrified when I got to bodybuilding. But, you know, I kind of follow my own sort of tune, or, you know, I follow my passions, and I get into what I get into based off how I feel. I don't really sit there and examine it and think, wow, women's bodybuilding does not make a lot of money. Maybe I should not do this. You know what I mean? Like, right. I never thought like that. I was like, wow, I really have to do this. So it kind of progressed. I just eventually...
It's addicting. I always tell people, like, it grabs you and then you can't let go of it. You're almost like,
yeah,
oh,
it does.
God.
You know, and I miss being in really good shape, but you can't. It's hard to wrestle.
Oh, I don't
and
know.
Being that lean, you get hurt, and it's hard to move well. So, yep. I mean, lucky for me, like, honestly, like, if I even spent 2 weeks just training back a bodybuilder's, you know, workout in the gym and dieting, I would change a lot, and I'd gain a back. You know, you always have that muscle memory.
It's always there.
That's
yep.
a good thing to know, is that I can always kind of get back into. Obviously, if I wanted to compete, it would, you know, take me a little longer to build that kind of size back up. But as for, like, getting lean and getting my symmetry back, it's not that hard to do. Like, thank God, I just was really lucky to have good genetics.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, so you said that you were weight training for tennis purposes when you were playing tennis and stuff. So what made you decide to go into wrestling if you enjoyed weight training so much, since now you can't really train your upper body?
Yeah, well, I do a little bit now just to have the power mm-hmm. for it, but I try not to be really big upper body-wise anymore. But what got me into wrestling, I watched it on and off as a kid, and honestly, I almost think, like, the Hulk Hogan Macho Man. Do you remember that? I don't know if you guys are wrestling fans, but that big, like, dramatic love triangle between Ms. Elizabeth, Hulk Hogan, and Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I'm into physical stuff, but I'm a girl, too, so I just ended up, like, for some reason, I like that little love story, like, the whole, like, torn thing. So I actually think a lot of times, like, you know, Hulk Hogan was so well-built. I actually think that also helped me get into bodybuilding. You know, he just looked so good, like the tan, the blonde hair and stuff like that. So it just kind of reinforced everything I'd look at in the magazines, you know, with Rachel McLeish. And, I just remember Georgia Miller Fudge, was it? Fudge, right? Do you guys remember her? She had, like, amazing biceps. Just, you know, Carolyn Fisher from England, she was, like, so ripped. Like, you know, Gladys Portuguese, of course, was just a beautiful model, so she combined a lot of those.
So how did
bodies.
You get, like, with, I know you, you know, I, and we mentioned it in your intro, but you were with this WWE developmental territory, the Deep South Wrestling, then how long were you with them, and then how do you get involved with them? Like, say, I was like, Melissa, I really want to get involved in wrestling, which we'll get into because I'm too afraid of getting hurt. Like, I think I would kill myself, but, like,
rough,
I really do. I think it would be over for me. I'd jump off the thing and that would be it, but
I thought you were just going to say you were interested in getting involved. I was like, what?
Chrissy, I would be dead. I really would. I don't know how you guys do it, but
it's a rough road. I'd be warning you that, but you have a dance background, so you probably have fairly, like, good movement and functional muscle instead of just display muscle. Like, it was hard for me to get to wrestling because, you know, competing in the Olympia and stuff, all I did for several years, which, you know, I'm assuming you still do a lot of dance and
yeah.
sort of exercise instead of just lifting weights. I was just really, I just had time because, of course, I was living in L.A. and it takes forever to drive places there. And it was just, you know, I was living down in L.A. by myself. And, you know, it's not kind of the city where you find a lot of people, like, who want to help you out, you know? So
it's cutthroat there.
I was pretty much fending for you're fending for yourself and trying to, like, keep down the fort. And a lot of people are trying to take you down and that sort of
thing. So did you go to L.A. with intentions of then getting into wrestling? Is that how that moved?
No. When I moved to L.A., like, when I was up in Canada, the magazine people were flying me down to L.A. a lot. And actually, Steve Winterstrom convinced me to move down to California, because then I'd be around all the magazines. It was just, which of course, you know, probably wasn't necessarily easier for me to move down there. It's probably better to have the magazines fly me down.
Yeah.
But, you know, so in retrospect, you know, you hindsight's 50-50. So, I mean, I moved down to California. It was pretty rough. Like, for the first few years, it was really rough.
And that was during your bodybuilding career or no? It was after
Yeah, that was at the beginning.
Okay.
Like, you know, I was competing. I turned pro in Canada, the Canadians, and then a year later, I ended up moving down. I was doing so much magazine work already that, you know, I was just basically convinced through various people, like magazine editors and stuff, to move down to California. So that's what I did. But, of course, it made things so much harder getting ready contest-wise. And
so at that time, were you making a living off of bodybuilding? Like, you didn't have to...
Yeah, I could. I was one of the lucky, fortunate few ones, you know. It's pretty hard to come by, you know. I'm not
it
sure.
Doesn't
like,
really
I
exist anymore.
The girls train people now,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty much
but,
it.
Yeah, I was doing enough magazine stuff and guest posing work. I mean, and I saved up a lot of money when I moved from Canada. Because, you know, of course, I'm Canadian. I also had to wait on getting a green card, you know. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of stuff I was limited doing based off that.
So then what brought you to Atlanta?
Well, Atlanta, okay, actually, the Deep South was a developmental territory that actually got shut down 2 years ago, so I'm not actually there anymore. I kind of work around. It's kind of a long, winding story with me in wrestling,
right.
Which it's a kind of a world unto its own, the wrestling business. Like, it takes a while. So, like, you know, I've been doing this for, like, 6 years, and I'm still trying to learn the ins and outs of the business. It's really different, but, of course, it's all based off, you know, wrestling came from carnivals where a guy would wrestle another guy at a carnival, and sometimes the matches were like pre-planned or you know, it's just kind of a funny sort of, you know, it's entertainment. People like, you know, create storylines and you feed into the drama and the storyline and mm-hmm. you know, the magic, like the Hollywood entertainment magic of it all, you know, the suspended belief is what they call it. That's what we call it in the wrestling business. It's, you know, making people believe the story you're telling, because it is. It's entertainment. It's incredibly hard, you know, almost stunt work is how I describe it. It takes so much skill and patience and, you know, a high tolerance for pain.
How did you learn those wrestling moves? Like, how do you, I mean, where?
Oh, you get different instructors. Like the Deep South, I was there for a short period of time. We kind of skip around questions a lot. But when I first got into wrestling was around the end of 1998 was when I decided to start slimming down for it. And then when I first started training, it was actually about 2002. And I went to a few different schools. I was actually really fortunate to get invited out to OVW, which was at the time the WWE developmental. And I ended up doing a pay-per-view for WWE as well. Like, WWE,
I saw
Backlash.
That. The Backlash 2005, right?
Yeah. And, you know, that was a great opportunity. You know, mm-hmm. I got beat up from Chris Masters, who was a fairly well-built guy. The Masterpiece Chris Masters, he put me in the Master Lock Challenge and kind of beat me up, you know. But, I mean, I like hard physical work, and I can get thrown around a lot. And I just, you know what I mean? Like, once your adrenaline goes, like, you don't really feel the pain. But I know, like, back in the late 90s, a lot of the male bodybuilders were trying to get into pro wrestling. And, Paul Dillette, I think he tripped over some top. This is a story I heard. He tried to get into the ring and he tripped over something and was like, "To hell with this!" And he quit. And I just heard some really funny stories. And
right.
I think Cormier like decided it was too. And it is. It's very easy to get injured doing it. But I know like three of the big bodybuilder guys back in the 90s were interested in getting into it. And I think after they realized that it really screws up your bodybuilding training, I think they just said, "Forget it." But
I mean, I know Melissa. You talked to. About your knee. So what other injuries do you have to deal with?
Well, you get injured all the time. You just learn to deal with it. You know, I tend to not get injured from screwing myself up. You know, like, occasionally someone will be unsafe with something, and you know, it's just, it's part of the sport. So
part of the game.
You kind of just learn to, as far as I don't think too many bodybuilders can handle the injuries. I just really love being physical. I love being entertaining, and I love the drama of wrestling. And since I was a kid, I was always a lot more physical than just lifting weight. So I think at a certain point with the bodybuilding, when the girls were getting so huge, I was like, wow, you know, I don't really want to compete mm-hmm. at this particular time till things kind of smooth out a little. So that's, you know, and I figured, okay, if I don't start wrestling now, I'm going to be too old. You know what I mean? So
well, wrestling's definitely not easy, Melissa. I was watching last night. Did you ever see the movie The Wrestler with Mickey Rourke
and
Marissa Tomei?
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I did not know how much poundage and, you know, torture your body goes through by wrestling. And I was watching, I was like, wow, that has to hurt.
I know.
So I give you a lot of credit. I'm like, there's just no way that I would lay on the ground and let someone fly from the top ropes and land on me like that with elbows.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. You're dealing, like, people who are involved in wrestling, you just have to, it's like most women bodybuilders as well, you have to have that passion and ability to diet yourself down. Like, we always used to say the diet's what separates the weightlifters from the bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because a lot of people cannot do that. And when I was bodybuilding, I always had people say, you know, I got to hand it to you. I can lift the weights, but I just can't diet. But, like, obviously for all three of us, we get a rush out of being able to push ourselves to that limit. You know, because I always did. I mean, I felt terrible, especially the last 3 weeks uh-huh. before a show. But it was just a rush to see my body get into that kind of condition. And at a certain point,
yeah, of course.
I don't know if it's kind of an obsessive compulsive personality,
but definitely
anyone who's an exceptionally bright or an exceptionally great actor or uh-huh. exceptionally great athlete, there's always something that, like I said, I don't know if it's obsessive compulsive or A-type personality. There's always something in that person that drives them to those lengths. And people who are in wrestling, I don't know if you're like masochistic or what, but I mean, I I've had some injuries on and off. I mean, it's been brutal. I've been able to train doing bodybuilding. I'm just really lucky that I have the genetics I do, so I keep, you know, muscle even when I'm getting over an injury. I'm just really lucky that way. But it's just a particular drive, and it's a passion, and it's just what drives you on. Like, you know, I love wrestling, so I'm going to keep doing it till I can't. But you know what I mean? Like, I just really love doing it. I feel terrible right now because I haven't been able to wrestle as much as I'd like to lately, but I'm just getting over that drop kick to the knee I took, so it takes a little bit of time. That was not a safe move coming from the other person.
That's not going to require...
That's pretty bad. That is really bad.
Yeah.
But,
that doesn't sound good.
I'm getting over it. I'm just careful with it. You know, you just, like, wrestlers are always working with injuries. They just learn to work around them. And you have to be so in tune with your body. Like, wrestling is the most difficult thing I think anyone could ever do because, you know, I think it's harder than getting into Hollywood, honestly, because with wrestling, you have to be aware of so many things at once. You have to be totally aware of your body. You have to work off and under, like not getting enough sleep, not getting enough nutrition. You have to keep track of the audience. You're keeping track of the referee. You're keeping track of the time. You're keeping track of your opponent. And it's acting on top of that. And you're dealing with situations where, you know, if something screws up, you could end up with a broken neck.
I know.
So, you know, you have to be so alert and so on the ball with this type
of
stuff.
All the time.
And, like, the bad news is, like, getting back to the wrestler movie, you know, some people, unfortunately, don't end up planning their futures too well. Or, you know, the wrestling business sometimes isn't as well supported as it could be. You know, there's a lot of fans who are promoters running promotions. And, you know, a lot of the promoters, a lot of people involved in wrestling are diehard fans. And then they eventually either want to wrestle or they want to run a promotion. And you know, it's just a lot of... really passionate personalities, and you know, sometimes things don't go on the independent scene as professionally as it could. You know, the only place really to make money or to get really great promotion is WWE, and to you know, a certain extent TNA.
Let me ask you, Melissa, you know, like you said, wrestling is entertainment, and I absolutely loved that movie when I watched it last night. With your character, when you're wrestling, do you have your creative freedom with that, or do they tell you, this is the type of character we would like you to be?
I do right now. When I was at OVW, which again, that's where I learned how to wrestle. I kind of skipped over learning the wrestling moves. The person I would say most taught me a decent amount of moves at my beginning was Rip Rogers. He was at OVW. No, OVW was a developmental for a while, at least when I was there. It's not anymore at the moment. The main WWE developmental is in Florida, Florida Championship Wrestling, which I haven't been down there. You know, I'm still in Georgia. But when I was at the developmentals, they gave me characters they wanted me to do. So at OVW, I was a bodyguard for Jillian Hall, and Jillian Hall's on TV right now as herself. She kind of does this funny singing deal, but you know, like with a girl as much muscle as I, especially back then, I was very big. You know, I think sometimes they think it's too overpowering for me to actually wrestle other girls because most girls aren't this big. So they had me do more of a bodyguarding thing, which goes, you know, which goes over very well. That's what, you know, China Joni Lahr was doing at the beginning. She was so much bigger than the other girls that she was believable as a bad girl. You know, we call them heels in the business. She was believable hitting men because of her size. And then eventually, of course, she got into wrestling men. I actually, since I'm not at a developmental right now, I have a lot more creative control of my character. I have two characters right now. One of them is just me. Whereas back in the 90s, people, wrestling characters were characters rather than personalities. You know, you had Million Dollar Man, you had like IRS, you had you know, Big Boss Man, you had characters who, you know, the Mounties, you had characters who were larger than life characters, and you know, there are bad guys and good guys, but it was just like really entertaining because, I mean, mm-hmm. how can you you can't really take seriously a guy who's in a cop right. outfit with Billy Club wrestling or guys yeah. in the Mounties outfits wrestling, you know, so it was obvious entertainment. And it was fun and entertaining. It was like a good time, and you'd laugh at the same time watching the stuff go. And you just felt really good after the end of the show. So one of the characters I do is a wrestling flight attendant called Mile High Melissa.
Oh, that's cute.
So,
I like it.
Yeah, it's never been done. It's fun, though, because it's so goofy, but it's so much fun. So I do that character. Usually I'm balleting, but now I've been wrestling as her as well. But I have, like, my little pilot case, and I have, like, an oxygen mask in there. And
that's cute.
A seatbelt that I wrap around.
It's entertaining.
Around
that's, yeah, as people want to see it.
It's funny, and people laugh, and I have, like, bags of peanuts and, one
good.
Match by one because I opened up the bag of peanuts and, you know, bounced a peanut off the guy's head, which, you know, of course, he acted like it got him in the eye, so he was blinded, and I rolled him up. You know, it's just, like, funny stuff. Like a, you know, if the baby face is making me bump all over, which means I'm getting thrown all over the place or, you know, taking that... You know, if you take a shot and you end up with your back on the mat, we call them bump. So if I'm getting, you know, typically what a baby face does to a heel is pull out some really great moves that, you know, get me off my feet so I can go and get the oxygen mask and give myself oxygen because I'm all like
that's
blown
good.
Up from being run all over the place. So it's like really fun and entertaining. And and I have a safety card too, so like I can look up moves to save myself.
Oh, that's cute.
You know, like look up counter moves. And then the other character I do is pretty much, you know, just a kind of a badass girl, like dressed all in black. It seems to be the best look for me. Like even when I did bodybuilding appearances, if I wore like shiny latex or some sort of black dominant looking outfit, I would get so many more fans, you know, coming up buying photos.
Because I saw in your clips, they introduced you as Melissa Coates. They're always like, Melissa Coates, you know what I mean? The ones that I was kind of watching when I was putting up on your website.
Oh, on YouTube. Yeah, I don't have, like, I know there's one YouTube thing where they have, I'm Mile High Melissa, but they forgot to announce me as that at the show. But I just got a clip. I did a match against Jamie D up in Detroit, actually, 2 weeks ago with the Mile High Melissa gimmick, and that's how they announced me. So
cool.
Yeah, I don't have all my stuff up, but of course we're changing that with my website anyways.
Melissa, let's plug to death here. You know, I want to get this, you know, it was a latent period, right? It was kind of like a little subdued, but now we're back. You have me on board. So we've got
you're doing a great job. Thank you.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. It's been crazy because we were trying to get the video is always problematic, but we're getting there. We got up matches. So
people like love the wrestling videos too. It seems to be like the real good money maker.
Yeah, so we have
me right now.
Let's talk about it, Melissa. It's Melissa, MelissaCoates.com. So talk about a little bit what's on there.
Okay, well, a lot of it is basically it's a member site. There's some free stuff as well. Like there's a few free galleries. Well, I'll actually probably send you a gallery to change one of the free ones. And there's an events and appearances section because I travel around the country, really, including Canada. I'm actually going to be in St. Catharines tonight doing a show with Jamie D. Jamie D was on TNA for a while, and she's probably headed back there very soon. So I work with her sometimes, tagging with her. So events and appearances, he says what wrestling shows I'm going to be at or if I'm going to be at some sort of wrestling appearance like Cinemania or something like that. There's always little conventions everywhere that sometimes I'll go to just to meet and greet fans because I always love doing that. That's one of the main things I always loved about fitness business, which, you know, just meeting people and talking with people and traveling. I still love doing that. With wrestling, it's even better, you know, because you're doing it so much more. And there's an update section where I just talk about everything that's happened kind of the last 2 weeks. And
then we got those downloadable.
The members area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The download wrestling area. Like, thank God we're filling that up pretty good because I got a lot of matches that haven't gone up yet. But
that Anarchy one you sent me, Melissa, there's like eight. There's eight matches with you in there. Separate matches.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. NWA Anarchy was the main place I had been working with after Deep South closed down. So there's a lot of Anarchy stuff there, and that was it still is. I haven't been there lately because you know, they had me beating up men there for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess we need to find another guy for me to beat up. But I mean, I'm probably the longest running women they've ever had there. Like NWA Anarchy is a very, like, it's basically tougher stuff than, you know, or at least equivalent to the kind of amazing skillful moves they do at TNA. Like WWE's a little more old school. Like, they kind of are more into telling a story, I would say, mm-hmm. as compared to just really wowing fans with incredible moves. TNA is kind of more like, wow, look what these people can do. That's amazing. You know, WWE's kind of...
You wrestle men and women, then, both?
Yeah, because it's kind of funny because I'm really not that big. Like, I really don't feel that big. And, of course, with women's bodybuilding, I was one of the smaller girls. So it was always kind of a funny switch for me going into wrestling. And you know, because I didn't feel that big. But, of course, compared to most women wrestlers, I'm, like, huge. I'm just not really tall.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess sometimes for some federations, I'm a little bit of a confusing fit a bit because sometimes they think I'm... too big to wrestle girls, which right now I'm not because I've let myself shrink down a little bit. I need to lean out probably about 10 pounds to be at a happy weight that I'd like to work at. But
how do you get to be
I wrestle men and women, and you know, usually with a muscular girl, they'll have you wrestle men at all. My friend Jamie D's like 5'10 and 190 pounds, so she's, you know, she's definitely as big as some guys are.
Yeah.
You know, I don't tend to be bigger than men, but a lot of times my arms
just
will
appear more.
That's the most obvious thing.
Melissa, let me ask. So do you think when the men wrestle a female, do you think they take a little bit easier on the females just because, you know, we're a different sex? Or do you think they go just as hard as they do when they wrestle men?
I think it depends on the man. You know, I've had some guys be rough with me and some guys be fine, you know, but I always prefer if they wrestle hard because that's how I like to work it, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't really, with my type of build, I can't really, you know, people, wrestling fans, you know, they're kind of groomed to expect certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I was 5'9" and really muscular, yeah, they'd be expecting to see me beat up guys all the time. But, you know, I like to wrestle hard because if I don't, then a girl with my type of size, if I'm not wrestling hard and doing power moves, it's like, why are you even here? Like, it's just, you know, it doesn't make any sense. So I prefer it, wrestling with men, if they're wrestling hard. But like I said, some guys, you know, take it easy on the girls if they're wrestling women, and a lot of girls do not like that. Because most of us, if we're wrestling men, you got to be pretty tough to do that, and you're kind of expecting the guy to bring it, you know, and it looks so much better if,
so Melissa,
you know, if the guy looks like he's trying to, you know, put up a fight, you know.
Take us like 5 years into the future, okay? We know Melissa Coates is going to be successful because you have me on your team.
Yes.
I'm terrible, 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 shameless flying.
I agree with you.
It's inevitable,
right,
now.
Absolutely.
She will be successful.
We're definitely going to have that website. It'll be cranking. It'll have constant updates. It'll be real. It'll be dynamic. But what about, like, what's the dream? I mean, is it to get into the WWE, TNA? Where are you in 5 years? Where's Melissa Coates in 5 years? Is she on a bodybuilding stage?
Always hard. 5 years ago, I don't think I would have guessed I would have been here. But, you know, like where I am at this moment.
Detroit,
like,
Michigan. There's nothing better than Detroit, Michigan.
Career-wise, I don't mean I didn't. I never dreamed I'd be talking with Colette Nelson and Chrissy. But anyway, you know, 5 years, I would hope. It's hard to say, like, how long a woman's wrestling career is really going to last. But, I mean, I would have hoped to have, you know, reached my potential or reached my goal. Which mm-hmm. would be to, yeah, I mean, I feel closer to a lot of WWE people because I did train there at the developmentals and did Backlash. So, I mean, I guess ultimately, you know, making a good living doing wrestling would be the best thing in the world because that's what I've been working, you know, I've geared my whole life. I left California for that. That's what I've been working towards. And I've had a lot of ups and downs, but I love wrestling, and I don't mind the pain or the injuries, and that's why I'm still here. You know, probably a lot of people would have quit by now, but in 5 years, I would hope to still be some, you know, I would have hoped to have made the big time in wrestling. And hopefully I would like to switch that into some sort of, you know, TV work or charity work, or, you know, I want a bigger platform. Like, you know, I want to support women with sports and with the bodybuilding, the wrestling, and you know, in businesses that are really male orientated, I think sometimes you need a woman there who's experienced things to try, like, give a hand to other girls. And I would just, you know, hope to somehow have made it to the big time in the wrestling, to have be still associated with it, hopefully do some television work, maybe have a nice big house somewhere. happily settled down. I don't know. You know, I kind of just go with the flow nowadays, and you know, everything tends to work out the way it's supposed to anyway. So
I totally believe in that. And let me tell you something. You're someone I have so much respect for. You remind me so much of myself, and you were my inspiration my entire career. I sound like an ass kisser, but it's really true.
No,
and
you don't. I actually, like, I did. I listened to your interview, and I was like, wow, this girl's a lot like me. Like, I can't remember what interview it was you did with, God, they were playing Pumping Iron at the beginning. I listened to that last night just to get some ideas.
I'm telling you, if I didn't have screwed up my shoulders as bad as I have, because the labrums are, I bitch about this every show, but I probably would have, I could have seen myself, because I love to perform. I could have totally seen myself in your shoes and doing that just for the love of it. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
I hope
that's the whole thing. You got to do what you believe in. You got to do what you love doing. And if you can pay the bills at the same time,
yeah,
it's always
a good thing.
Thank God, you know, that's what separates all of us, I think, from girls who might just say, the hell with this. Like, I'm just going to go work in a strip club or something and make money. You know, it's you just really got to love what you're doing.
You know, Melissa, we loved so much having you on. And I think, Christy, I think we should have Melissa back. She has a lot to say.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And, you know,
yeah,
I'm
love to
curious
come back,
to see how everything goes
little
with the wrestling, too.
And
yeah,
I want,
hopefully I'll have some good news.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when yeah, anything that comes up in your life, we want you on. And I just want to mention www.melissacoates, and that's COATES.com. It has downloadable wrestling matches, each that are about 10 minutes. So you're getting your money's worth. You're not just getting 2 minutes.
And galleries and sexy bikini lingerie stuff in the member section as
And
well.
We put up retro galleries. And I know, Melissa, that you're thinking, whatever. People love that stuff. This is retro stuff from the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s.
I actually love looking at it too, because I'm looking at the condition I used to be in, and I'm going, God, you know, I missed that, but it's so hard to wrestle like that. But you know, it's inspiring. It's
awesome.
It's cool, and it's awesome. It's awesome talking with the two of you. Like, it motivates me. I'm so glad to be in touch with, you know, mover and shaker in the fitness business, because I haven't really been in touch with that. Wrestling's a whole different world unto itself, and it's so much more difficult than fitness that I've been completely immersed in wrestling for several years, you know.
Well, we're having
you. Yeah, good luck to you with everything, Melissa.
And we're having you back on, Melissa.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Muscle Girls, Inc.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Javelle Little Bunyania, and you are listening to Muscle Girls Inc.
She has been on the female bodybuilding scene since 1988. After 15 years competing as an amateur, she finally got her pro card at the 2005 Masters Nationals. She is known for her razor-rip conditioning and longevity in the sport. She is currently a contest prep guru and a Louisiana regional judge. Muscle Girl Inc. welcomes Ms. Robin Parker. Robin, how you
hey
doing?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Wonderful. Good. Thank you for coming to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Robin, listen, 1988, okay? I think that brings us, what, is that 21 years ago?
Long time.
You begin this journey, you stay in the game, you've done some amazing stuff along the way. I mean, you've seen a lot. That's what I can't wait to get like out in the open. Like, you've seen this whole transition between when, I mean, yeah, I didn't want to jump around, but here you are. It's 2005. You're at the Masters Nationals and you get your pro card. What are you thinking?
Oh boy. I'm just ecstatic as can be. It's, you know, it was a long journey and, It was great, you know. It was really great to get that pro card. As you well know, I had a little bit more of a struggle, obviously, than you did. But it was very gratifying.
Would that go down as like your best show? You think that would be that's the show you remember most?
Oh boy, I don't know that would be the show I remember the most. I have real fond memories of 95 USA in Denver, and I think primarily because it was that moment that you kind of realized that you really belong there, that you look good, you feel good, it doesn't matter that I didn't win, I was, you know, made an impression, and that was very gratifying.
Yep.
And, you know, it was such a competitive field that year, too, that if you recall, the Valerie Ganji won the class that year. Back then, there were still only three weight classes, and she was a middleweight. But Chris Bongiovanni beat me out by 1 point and looking absolutely amazing. And
so you were second that year?
Brandi Parisa was in that class. Let's see who else was in that class. There were some, you know, amazing athletes that year.
Mm-hmm. Talking about the 2004 Nationals, Robin, talking about the 2004 Nationals, when you placed fifth, many people feel that you deserved higher than that because less conditioned so-called bodybuilders has placed a little bit higher than you. What was your take on that show?
That was an interesting show. If you recall, 2003 Ms. Olympia, Iris was at her biggest and hardest ever. And there was some backlash from that, as there tends to be a kind of a cyclic thing that happens in our sport where we all kind of try to do the 20% thing. It's a good example. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what ended up coming out of that with the 20% rule. Basically, I would always look at the ideal as Ms. Olympia, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're supposed to strive to be, what they choose to be, the best of the best? Well, you would think, okay, well, that's what we should model ourselves for. That's mm-hmm. what we should strive to look like. And with that in mind, the prep for 2004 was to come in as hard as possible. And mm-hmm. that year at the Nationals every year, they do have their Board of Governors meeting where they sit back and discuss all the different issues of the day. And one of the big issues of the day was we want the women to come in softer. And Chad Nichols was doing my prep that year. And, of course, he's at the Board of Governors meeting. And he addressed the issue that this has to start next year. This can't start now because the competitors haven't been advised.
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, they said, sure, you know. But the way mm-hmm. they judged mm-hmm. was the way they had discussed in the meeting. They judged for a smoother competitor at that competition.
Wow, so how is that fair to all the competitors that have prepped for the show with, you know, the previous conditions?
And Robin was ridiculous that year.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was a pretty insane condition.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
I tried out for Jerry Palumbo, a women's bodybuilder.
You really were. I remember that. I was like, wow.
mm-hmm.
It's so weird. And then you come back to Masters Nationals in 05 in just as good a condition, and you get your pro card. So there's this, like, you always have to just, don't you think, Robin, you got to come in the way you look your best. And then you're hoping that it's along the lines of what these judges want at this, you know?
Yeah, you do. You do have to figure out what's best for you. And for me, a highly conditioned physique is best. Yeah. Some people can get away with less conditioning.
Well,
and
listen,
it's also personal preference, too.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
So you are the owner of Physical Culture. I'm going to kind of take you back to the history of Robin Parker. So Physical Culture, it was a model talent agency in New York City. Do you miss that part of your life? How did you get involved in that? And that sounds like exciting, something really entrepreneurial to do.
Well, it was a means to an end. It was a way to be able to compete without having to punch a clock and being able to have the time that I needed for training and everything that went into the contest prep, and it was good on a lot of levels. I got to meet a lot of great people. There were some downsides, but not much. It was mostly pretty positive, and I don't really miss it. It was also a video company, and that was another good way to make money. We basically just did some silly wrestling videos and posing videos. Nothing at all, you know, I mean, hardly even R-rated, really. It's
right.
All pretty innocent stuff. And, but they, you know, they paid the rent.
Yeah. Totally.
Do you think you would start that back up, though, your company, the Physical Culture?
I don't think so. No. Mm-hmm. No, it's just,
you're in such a different place.
I'm not, you have to be more of a people person, I think, to be in an agency business. And I'm not as much of a people person as that it would require.
Yeah. Well, Robin, you lived
Robin.
In... Go on, Christine.
Oh, go
sorry, I was going to jump in there, Christine, and steal your question. Go for it.
No, Robin, I noticed you lived in New York City, which is one of Colette's favorite places to be.
In the world,
and
yeah,
I know. And you're actually a sculptor. So I was really interested in hearing about this because I personally love art. I used to take drawing and painting classes. So could you tell us a little more about you being a sculptor in the city?
Yeah, absolutely. When I graduated from the University of New Mexico, I had my degree in sculpture, and my professor was a visiting artist who was a sculptor who did mostly bronze work, and that's kind of what I got involved with, is pouring bronze, and which is not something that you can do if you don't kind of have a little bit of muscle and strength. It's something that requires a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of manual labor, and mm-hmm. I'm comfortable with that. I love working with my hands. I love getting down and dirty. That art process is just a lot of fun and very gratifying. And so moving to New York with him was just a kind of a logical step. He had galleries in New York and L.A. and Italy, and I was able to help him with his work and learn along the way and kind of develop my own style. And eventually I found galleries in New York that represented my work. But this was all before the... kind of the bottom fell out of the stock market in the 80s or early 90s. I guess it would probably be about the, I'm not exactly sure the date, but probably the later 80s. And people just stopped buying art. All the little galleries closed, and things just weren't good for artists at that point in time. And I had also mm-hmm. Kind of gotten into the bodybuilding scene and shifted my interest more towards the bodybuilding and away from the art. But I do love it. I always, you know, will appreciate it. And I think being a sculptor is a very important thing in terms of my bodybuilding, because I'm trained to see three-dimensionally.
Yeah.
Form, shape, balance, proportion.
Gives you a good eye,
things.
Too, with your
yeah.
contest prepping people, too, I'm sure. You know?
Yeah, all of that stuff is really helpful judging.
Yeah, that's
very,
true. Yeah.
Very helpful in terms of evaluating the physique, making sure that everything is symmetrical and pleasing to the eye.
Well, Robin, tell us about like where you train, because you know, when I moved to the city, I was at 19th Street Gym, which was Brian Moss's Better Bodies, I think, at one point, and then Johnny Latz on 17th. So, did you hang out with Brian back then at Better Bodies?
You know, it's funny. Brian was one of the most intimidating people for me. He was just so damn cool.
He is a cool guy.
He was so cool looking, and he was so, he dressed like nobody. He had such amazing style, and he was just like, there was something like, was almost untouchable about him, because he was just too cool.
He still is. He always has that, like, kind of like that sexy dirtbag image. I love it, though.
I know.
Right? It's the sexy dirtbag image. It works every time. You melt. You know
really
what I mean?
It really does. It's so unique. I mean, you just don't see anybody like Brian.
No. Nope.
I mean, and he, I don't think he was doing photography back then, but, I mean, we would go to the gym, you know, to visit every once in a while, and just to have a workout there every once in a while. It was a lot of fun to go there when there was a contest in town, and you could see some of the pros training there or having photographs taken. When I was there, I started out working at a little gym called Madison Avenue Muscle on the upper East Side, and it was a basement gym, but that's where I basically started working out and started training people. And it was a nice little gym. And then after that, I trained a World Gym on Lafayette.
I remember, yes, which is now the Crunch, which is now Crunch, actually.
It's still Crunch, yeah.
Yeah.
So then that was a great gym back then. And again, it was a great gym for visiting people whenever their Night of Champions was in town. It was a lot of fun to go
there. Now, was
that
Nicole Bass's gym or no? Was that Nicole Bass's
gym? No. That was Nicole and Bob's gym was up the block. It was...
So you kind of stayed low-key. You didn't, like, train at those places usually.
I would go there every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, I was certainly aware of Bob and Nicole.
Yeah, how could you not be?
But, you know, every once in a while, you know, we all go to Better Bodies or to Strong and Shapely. For like Champions Day, you remember the Champions
Day? Yeah,
which were great. I don't know. Do they still have Champions Day?
They've kind of resurrected every once in a while. It's just not the same.
It was fun though. And then you know, go out to Long Island, go to Bev and Steve's gym every once in a while.
Yeah.
There was another gym. There was a gym on the Upper West Side I think they also had one on the East Side. That was, I don't remember the name of it, but you walk in there and there were George Butler pictures of Arnold Schwarzenegger hanging on the wall. I mean, like original prints.
Wow.
It was it was really amazing. It was a cool gym. And that's where a lot of people did their personal training and stuff. I know Steve Stone and Sharon L. used to train up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there were a few scattered. But World was really cool. I enjoyed World Gym a lot. World was a lot of fun because you'd get celebrities in there every once in a while, you know. But people like Gregory Hines train there on a regular basis. And Gregory was just like... absolutely wonderful man, incredible guy. And then eventually I ended up going to Johnny Latz. Training at Johnny Latz is kind of where I ended up.
Yeah, I love that place. Before, you know, it's down. They closed it down. They lost their lease.
Did they?
So sad.
Yeah.
Well, Robin, you know, you're known for this ridiculous conditioning, and it's something that is marveled. And I know me and Amanda are like, God, man, how does she do it? You know, and you stay like 10 pounds, you know, close to your contest weight, which is like a dream of mine. And now we had an episode on eating disorders. Now, look, me and Chrissy, we rehashed this and hashed it 100 times about just this sport. Not that it's proliferating eating disorders, but it does kind of like draw in people that have disordered types of eating. It's just, it kind of is the nature of the beast or the beast of the nature. I mean, what is your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we are extreme personalities. Yep. And, it tends to manifest itself in the way we, I don't know, restrict things. Sometimes that restriction can be unhealthy, and it can just lead to, it's just like a backlash. Eventually, things happen. But it's funny. I think we all have to kind of go through these phases, and things just kind of have to work themselves out in their own time.
Robin, I'll be able to stay 10 pounds close to my contest weight. I still think one day I'll be able to do it.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, you're not that much over.
I don't know. I mean, I do creep up there. It's like every year I get better, so I feel like I get 1 year closer to getting to where I want to stay, like all year, you know? So I think that you just, like you said, you find that place, you get there, you know?
Yeah.
You'll be there, honey.
Yep.
You get to the point where you're more comfortable with that off season, and that's what I know. That's what you guys were talking about. You know, you gotta just accept that. Accept that that you know you can't be in the contest shape. You can't be that lean all the time. I mean, I don't stay 10 pounds anymore. And you know how it is with the sometimes at 10 pounds, it depends on the composition too.
Right. Totally. Yeah.
I mean, it can be 15, and if it's floppy, that's one thing. If it's tight, quite another. But you know, it's just finding that balance that you guys were discussing on that show. That was a great show, by the way. It was really informative, and I think it probably helped a lot of people.
That's what we wanted to do, just so people relate. They're not sitting going, God, you know, I'm struggling with these feelings, and thinking, you know, it's better not to think you're alone, that you got somebody.
And we were lucky enough to have some great guests that were willing to share their personal stories and their battles and stuff, and are successful. So
definitely,
I think that was great to see.
Yeah, a lot of insight, hopefully a lot of help to some people. I know it is it's a terrible thing, and I guess if anything, hopefully people will get help. They'll seek help, professional help if they need it.
Robin, you said you worked with Chad Nichols in the past, and I know that you personally do contest prep for athletes now. So if you were to step back on stage, would you use him for prep again, or would you do your own prep?
I would definitely use Chad again. I would love to work with Chad again. He was fantastic. I tend to be pretty much I'm comfortable like with Atkins. I'm comfortable with Dave Palumbo diet. But I really realized from Chad that I need some carbohydrates. It's that balance tends to work better for me than trying to restrict it or trying to cycle my carbs. Cycling carbs is the recipe for disaster, because if I do without and then I have one day where I can, then there's a tendency to overdo it.
Right.
And if I keep the carbs moderate, and then I'm okay with that. That's just the key, is to keep it low key. Occasionally there were times with Chad where he'll throw in what I call a hell week, where there's virtually no carbs and a lot of cardio. But that kind of accelerates the whole process. A few days of no carbs will tend to accelerate a process if you're on a plateau.
Right.
But I was shocked. You know, I was really surprised at how necessary carbs are to me in the fat burning process.
I mean, it's like I said, it's always a strategy. It's a strategy, and all strategies can work. And it's like you find which one kind of works for you. So it's not like one. Mm-hmm. Like I argue with Dave about this. It's not which diet's better. It's kind of which one, like you kind of gravitate towards you. Because it's like it's not one that's better than the other. It's really what works for you. And you obviously following it. That's the key, is following that approach and being consistent with that one approach that you're following.
Yeah, I think so.
And then don't you think too, Robin?
Extremes are always a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, almost always a bad idea. I don't know too many people that can do. I mean, if they can do the extreme successfully, then there's probably going to be a backlash.
That's true.
That's my experience.
And then don't you think, too, is being, even if you prep other people, you can't prep yourself. You need somebody to kick you in the ass.
That's true, too. Yeah, you definitely have to have somebody to look at you and make sure you're on track and all that. And that's a luxury. To me, I mean, when I, coming up, I mean, Chad's the first person I ever hired to work with. And coming up, there was never nobody had contest prep people. I mean, you read the magazines, you looked at the diets, and you kind of figured out on your own what you thought might work, and that was that. I mean, I never had anybody to help me, actually, until I hired Chad, and it made all the difference in the world. It was just so nice to be able to say, okay, that part I don't have to worry about. That's in his hands, and that was the beauty of it too, is that if I did exactly what he told me to do,
exactly,
then if I didn't do well, it's going to be, I can put the blame on his shoulders.
Oh, I know, isn't that great? I know, yep.
but if I cheat, then it's my fault, you know?
Right.
It's like, I can't blame anybody. So it's a matter of then taking that responsibility or being able to kind of put it off on somebody else, which was a huge relief for me to be able to do that.
Well, Robin,
and not that I never cheated, but
right, I know. Never mind that. No.
Yeah.
Well, Robin, well, tell us about your most rewarding client, Amanda Dunbar. Anyway, tell us about. I had to throw this in, but you know, I did speak with Amanda, and I got to tell you, you know, we were talking again about her getting back on stage and whatever, and she's like, you know, Colette, I loved working with Robin. I need somebody that is no bullshit attitude, that's not afraid to tell me how it is. And she always tells me the story that seriously motivated Amanda to do so well in the USA when you told her, I don't know how many weeks out it was, but you said, Amanda, listen, this isn't happening. I think that, you know what I mean? You have this no bullshit attitude. So walk us through that process, because wasn't that, like, that was a crazy year. And I got to tell you, to see her win that show after not even ever having, she did one other show and she wins her pro card. What was that experience like?
Yeah.
It was
great. You know, it's like she was just ready. She was ready to do basically the same thing I had done, is put it in somebody else's hands.
Yep.
And say, here, okay, you know, I saw what you did. I mean, I was my own, you know, guinea pig in a way. You know, she said, okay, I want to look that way. I want to be that lean. And so it's like, well, I don't know if this is going to work, but let's try it and see what happens. I mean, I don't really know. I don't have that much experience with prep at that point that I'm working with Amanda. But she responded well. It's always the kind of thing, almost every competitor, especially women, the legs come in at the last second.
I know.
You know, and just trying to reassure her, constantly reassure her, don't worry, they will come in. And it really was virtually that final week.
It was.
They, you know, she saw it, and she said, you know, you're right, absolutely. And it's almost that way universally with most people that I work with, men and women. The leg is always the last to come in. They're always dressing, but they do come in.
Yeah.
So, but Amanda was terrific, and she could have done it on her own, or she could have done it with somebody else, but because her genetics are so amazing, she just needed to get lean, that's all. And,
she needed you, though, Robin. She tells it to this day. She, you know, even like she struggles with the ideas of doing it again, she needs that person in her life to focus, and she can feel accountable to, that she feels like, you know, I can't help her because I'm too close to her, and I don't have the right, you're like, you need that person that can. It's weird, like you respect them and you don't want to let them down, and that's how she felt with you. It's such a good dynamic when you can find that with somebody, you know.
Yeah, well, it was. I was thrilled to be able to help her out. You know, we'd all love to see her get back on stage.
I know. One day.
Young. She's very young. She's got plenty of time.
That's what I say. You're only 26 years old. You can do anything. You know.
Absolutely.
Does she plan on getting back on stage soon?
I don't have any plans, but I never say never, Christy. I think it's a mistake to say I'm done with it, I'm through with it, because, you know, you close the door. Why close the door?
Nobody ever retires,
yeah,
Christy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no reason to. And that's the beauty of the sport, is that, you know, especially for the women, is that you can do it
forever, it seems like.
Yeah, into your senior citizen years. Yeah. But it's a great sport, and I've always kind of said the standard for me is, if I don't see improvement, then it's time to say, okay, it's time to hang it up. But
yeah.
You know, as long as I'm training consistently and hard, I'm always improving.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, until it comes a time when I just don't see that happening anymore. Plus the fact that, I tell you one thing, Colette, that I don't know if it's true for you, but for me, being a pro is so cool. And the reason is that all the pressure is off. It's not about winning anymore.
I totally agree.
I don't get to win any pro shows, and that's a really great thing to know. You know, and I don't have to. But as an amateur, you have to. Because the goal is to get the pro card. Once you're a pro, it's like, unless you've got amazing genetics, then you're not going to be Ms. Olympia.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe you're going to win a lower level show, which would be great, but you have to be realistic about it. And it's not about winning anymore, which is wonderful. Everybody has their fans and their people that think that they are absolutely wonderful, and and that's great. You know, you have
I did the New York Pro. I placed 12th. I could have cared less. I had a great time. I loved doing my routine. It doesn't matter anymore. It's like it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, if you're having fun with it, you know you're in shape. You know you look great. You're going to get a lot of pictures taken.
Doesn't matter.
You're going to do some video work. You're going to enjoy yourself and. You know, it's a beautiful thing, but you don't have to worry about about qualifying for for anything, unless I guess of course if you're going to Olympia, which you did.
Yeah, I mean but now it doesn't. It's just a great. It's such a better feeling to compete.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a great feeling to have. To do an Olympia.
That was awesome.
Not too many people are going to be able to do that.
That was my dreams. If I could do that, then now it's really no pressure. I'm like, you kind of...
Was it everything you expected it to be?
It was. There was a point when I turned around to the back, and I was doing a back double bicep, and I looked up at the screen, and like it really almost brings tears to my eyes right now, and I looked up, and I almost wanted to cry. I almost forgot my whole routine, because I looked up at the screen, and I saw that was really me up there, and I really did. I mean, it was moving, and I'll never forget it.
That's
that was
cool.
Like a moment that it's, you know, when you have those things, moments in your life when time really stands still. For a minute there, honestly, time really did stand still, and I'm like, God, I better get my shit together. Remember what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Well, I've only done the one pro show. I did that Europa show that you did, and yeah, I had a ball. It was just so much fun, and I enjoyed it. I wasn't nervous for probably the first time in my life. I really wasn't nervous about being on stage. It was no big deal.
That was your first pro show, right, Robin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you weren't nervous?
What year was that, Colette?
2006,
that was,
right?
Yeah,
2006.
Robin, I heard that you're also into photography. You were a sculptor, and now you're getting into photography. Do you think you would ever shoot people in the industry?
Oh, I love shooting other bodybuilders. Absolutely. I really want to continue to improve in that department. It gives me a lot of pleasure to shoot people. I've always enjoyed shooting the figure and people and animals. That's the thing I really enjoy photographing. And so, I definitely would like to expand on that.
Yeah, it's another creative outlet for you, I think.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Now, Robin, I had the lovely opportunity of meeting Barry at Amanda's show in 05. He is probably, and Chrissy, next to Troy, and Dave, of course. But Dave can be a pain in the ass, but of course that's because I'm with him. Barry is an amazing guy. Right or wrong, Robin, we love this guy.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing. I mean, all guys can be a pain in the ass. But,
I know.
Barry's no exception, but I'm sure I'm more of a pain in his ass.
Right, that's what I say. Right. And when did you guys get...
He is an angel. He's an absolute angel, and everybody loves him to death. And he's so supportive and so sweet and patient and wonderful.
Now, is he still...
I could not have done better. And, the thing is, I waited... I didn't settle for anything less. I had to wait until the right one came, and it took a long time, and I had to kiss a lot of frogs. But
right. And then what about children, Robin? I mean, you're a dog lover. Is that idea, would you ever think of, do you miss not ever having kids? Is something you would ever?
No.
That's going to be me.
No way. I mean, the dogs are the kids,
Yeah.
That's, how that is. I mean, you have a dog, don't you?
Yeah, we have two of them. They're kids.
Yeah. They're just like kids.
They are.
They're family.
Yep.
But no, children,
No children. Robin's sure about that one. She's like, nah. So, Robin, I also saw that you're an NPC judge in Louisiana. So I was wondering how you first decided that you would like to judge. And I saw that you also said that it definitely helped you as a competitor.
Yeah, it helped me as a competitor a lot. I think everybody... Well, you know how it is when you first come up. I mean, people assume that there's some sort of conspiracy going on with the judges. You sit at the judges' table one time, you realize there's no conspiracy here. I mean, everybody's doing their scoring, and there's nothing going on behind the scenes that anybody needs to be concerned about. It's helped me in terms of you know, you see what people are doing right, what people are doing wrong on stage, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. you can kind of say, oh, I'm not going to make that mistake or whatever, but it's helpful in analyzing physiques. I think hopefully I've helped some people along the way, given some good advice along the way. I enjoy it a lot. The only problem in Louisiana, there's only four shows, and I mean, two of them are qualifiers. I mean, we have our state show, and we have Greater Gulf States and USA Wheelchair, mm-hmm. but those are the qualifiers, and the other two are really small, little bitty rinky-dink shows. So typically, I only end up judging one show a year. I've been up to Chad Nichols has had me up there to judge the show in Kansas City, and I really enjoy doing that. And that may be the way thing to do, is just to kind of go to different areas to judge. But I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, Robin, tell me about, you know, I'm really interested in this because I knew you were going through this, but I just hadn't talked to you about the shoulder surgery. And how did you hurt your shoulder? Like, how did this all talk, kind of walk me through it?
I wish I knew. I mean, there was really no incident that I can point to where I, you know, said, okay, I think I screwed something up. Mm-hmm. It was just a general weakness in my pushing movements, my pushing straight ahead and my pushing overhead just all of a sudden kind of stopped.
I had
that weakness without a lot of pain. I mean, there was kind of like that, like catching thing that happens, you know, mm-hmm. what I'm talking about?
Yep, it's my right shoulder now.
but not pain. And so we had an MRI taken, and it determined that I had a full thickness tear of the distal two-thirds of the supraspinatus tendon.
Wow.
Spurring in my AC joint, and it was obviously something that required surgery. So Barry being an attorney, you don't really want to use local surgeons when you're doing a surgery like that. He usually ends up in court with those surgeons. So, and plus the fact that he just kind of has like a general disdain of the medical people in this state, you know, as how competent they are, mainly because he has seen so many malpractice suits. Mm-hmm. But we basically set out to determine, okay, who's the best doctor for the job? And the best doctor for the job is a guy named James Andrews. I don't know if you know the name. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know the name. James Andrews is out of Birmingham, and he has a clinic in the Gulf Breeze, Florida. He's done people like Troy Aikman, Charles Barkley, Roger Clemens, Alvin Iverson, Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, Jack Nicklaus, Emmitt Smith.
Wow.
He's done Triple H. He's done Triple H a couple of times. You can ask your buddy Triple H about him.
Okay.
John Cena, even Vince McMahon. I mean, he takes all those wrestlers go there. When you go in the office, it's pretty funny because they have every room is kind of a different sport. You'll go in one room and it'll be all hockey jerseys signed on the wall, framed and signed. Another room will be basketball players that he's done 8x10s and, you know, signed everywhere, these pictures. You know, they have bicycle racers and, you know, soccer players, even the Mexican wrestlers, you know, it was pretty funny. What was funny about him is because, you know, you've got this man who operates on these world-class athletes, and he sees a bodybuilder, and it's kind of like, he basically refers to us as gym rats.
Right.
That's how he can kind of categorize us as gym rats, because we don't really have a sport, per se. So, but he was totally cool, and he's extremely competent. I was very concerned about the scars, and I don't imagine that he gets that too often, where people are really worried about the scarring. It's an arthroscopic procedure, but he reassured me that there would just be like the three incisions, and when they brought me back from the surgery, they were actually four incisions, and he told me that they had, he said normally this surgery would take, if they had kind of just opened me up, once they realized what the procedure was, typically they would just go ahead and do an incision, and it would take like 20 minutes. It ended up taking about 2.5 hours, because he knew I did not want him just to, you know, slice me and do the surgery mm-hmm. that way. Mm-hmm. He took his time, and he did it right, and put in all the anchors and did all that stuff, and it took a long time, but he did it right, and it's a beautiful job. So after the surgery, I had 8 weeks of physical therapy, and now it's pretty much unnoticeable. I really don't notice any difference from my right shoulder to my left shoulder. They seem about the same.
Wow.
I've gotten probably 90% of my strength back. I'm still a little weak in my pushing movements, but I'm very, very careful. I make sure I warm up very thoroughly. And I mean, I always have. I've always been an extremely careful trainer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one of those things. I think it's probably more of a degenerative age-related thing. I'm not exactly sure, but I try to be real careful with it and baby it.
Yep, definitely.
But you never really can. You can't tell anything in terms of the way it looks other than just a little bit of residue from the scars, but that's about it. So if you, I highly recommend James Andrews if you have the option for.
He's down by you. He's in Florida, did you say, or Alabama?
To Birmingham, Alabama is his primary office, and then Gulf Breeze, Florida is his clinic where I had the surgery done, and it's a beautiful facility. It's absolutely amazing. It's all state of the art. They do all sorts of studies of motion studies and kinesiology and physical therapy, and they have a outstanding facility there. So, and he's getting up there too. He's like 67 now, I think.
Wow.
So I don't know how many more surgeries he's going to be doing in his life, but he does have a lot of people that he's trained. It's kind of a teaching hospital.
Well, Robin, I see that you do a little bit of everything. Okay, sculpting, photography, and then I also heard that you do home improvements, and I love HGTV. And I heard that you can redo an entire bathroom, kitchen, so I think I'm going to steal you. So I was wondering how you learned how to start doing all that stuff.
I guess, like I said, you know, like with the sculpture, I love getting working with my hands. I love getting down and dirty. Uh-huh. I mean, whether it's yard work, digging in the dirt, or scraping popcorn off the ceilings, or hanging wallpaper, you know, any of that stuff. It's just, for me, it's just a no-brainer to do it myself. You know, it's like, I don't know, like growing up, I mean, something needed to be moved from point A to point B. I wasn't going to wait around for somebody. I was going to do it myself. So it's just kind of probably more stubbornness than anything else. But I enjoy it. I really love the process of doing things in the house and, you know, changing colors on the walls or any number of things, you know, whatever, installing a new fixture. It's not hard. It's fun.
Now, Robin, let's talk about a little controversial stuff. This year was very interesting. We had Ed and Betty decided to cancel the Europa Super Show. They felt that the women were not receptive and they were not very grateful. And then we had Trey Bennett on the radio a few weeks ago, and he had his thoughts on female bodybuilding and how it should be judged. Give me your two opinions on those.
I thought Trey's comments were really excellent, and it needed to be said. I mean, we women bodybuilders, for some reason, I mean, we want to avoid the controversy. I don't know if we think that it's going to come back and bite us, or we're going to get punished somehow. But I don't know too many of us that are, you know, want to be really outspoken about things. Mm-hmm. And there needs to be more of that. I mean, it's nice to have the men out there that support us and that don't have a fear of just coming right out and saying that it doesn't make any sense. Why do we have a women's representative who doesn't respect us and doesn't? I mean, she feels like she's not being respected, but you can't command that. You know, you have to kind of earn that. And it's not like, I mean, it's more disdain than anything. It's not that so much that there's lack of respect, it's almost like disdain. And mm-hmm. I don't understand that. I know that the year that we competed, there was a lot of talk on the boards about the fact that, oh, you know, the women aren't signing up and this is a disaster. And it was like before it even happened. I mean, back then we had a few, you know, we had several weeks before we had to have our application.
Robin,
and
every single pro show has had at least 25 girls in it.
Exactly.
It's like, what are they talking about? Every single one, Chrissy. The New York Pro's got about 30 right now.
It's really crazy.
Yep.
I mean, there were 21 in 05. I went back and looked. I mean, in 2006 at the Europa, well, that's the year we competed. There were 22 women, and there were only 21 men.
I know. So it's like, come on.
In 2007, there were 22, and in 2008, there were 19. And, you know, so they're fussing about the lack of sign-up. Well, that obviously is a, you know, just that argument doesn't fly. If they're, you know, I remember the year that we did it, Colette, they wanted to do a little thriller skit, and everybody got up there and did the thriller skit and all that. We did have to, you know, there was a lot of waiting backstage and all that. I don't know. I mean, I tried to have conversations with Betty, and I just felt like I didn't exist, or that I could, you know, or that she wished I wasn't there. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, have you tried to talk with her? Have you
been able to
communicate?
It's like an interesting dynamic. I mean, how does that position become available?
It's assigned by Jim Mannion initially, remember? And whether it's the position that can be an elected position, I don't know. I suppose we would have to talk to Jim Mannion, but...
it's like you need a really good...
I don't
good
know why Betty would even want the position. Why would she even want it?
I don't know.
You know, the other thing, I mean, to be totally fair about it, the same thing happened after when you did your pro debut at the New York Pro Show.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
And it was a sold-out show.
Yes. Remember,
great
you couldn't
show
even get in.
The next year... They didn't have it now.
Yep.
What was Deb and Steve's excuse for dropping the women bodybuilding for the second that next year?
I know. I wonder, because basically, why they felt like honestly they could sell at that arena anyway. So why pay an extra cent? Not that I don't know. Why pay any prize money? It's almost like whatever. You know? Is there?
I mean, does it mean that there's that much more prize money that they can put in their pocket? Or is it that much more prize money that they can give out to other bodybuilders? I mean, I don't quite understand. It doesn't... I'm not a promoter. I don't know the ins and outs. And
right.
Obviously, it'd be great if you guys had some promoters on here to talk about it. If I'm a promoter and I'm doing a show, and I say, okay, GNC, you want to sponsor my show? It's not, yes, we want to sponsor your show, but we absolutely do not want any money to go to the women's bodybuilding.
I know.
I mean, I don't think it works that way. And when
right.
you're getting prize money, you're saying, okay, we want you to sponsor just the women bodybuilders. It's like, no, we want you to sponsor our show. You're going to give us X number of dollars, and then we do what we want to with that money.
Well, that's what happening. That's what happening right now is if Dave didn't put in for, you know, have Species sponsor the New York Pro, there would be no female bodybuilding at the New York Pro.
Right.
This is like really scary.
Yeah.
That we have to have like separate. And then what about the Tampa? If we didn't have this,
the same thing.
This miraculous,
they had to raise their own money for that class. Yeah, it's odd to me. I don't quite understand why it's not just a blanket thing. You know, you're a promoter, you're going to have X, Y, Z.
Right.
I get my sponsors, and then that's it. You know, they're sponsoring the whole contest. Now, if they want, they obviously want to say, okay, well, I want to give the overall trophy to the men.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. But I just don't understand. It doesn't cost any more to publicize it. It doesn't cost any more in terms of renting your facility. It doesn't cost any more in terms of the amount of insurance you need. I mean, as a promoter, I mean, it's going to take a little bit more time. But
the issue is that,
to me, that
sanction fee. They make you pay a sanction fee for each sanction.
Yeah, yeah.
Get rid of the one for female bodybuilding. Do that for us. That's what I'm...
Yeah,
that's my
pre. They did that. Was it just 1 year that
one
they
year.
Dropped that?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
they
I
really need to drop that permanently.
Drop it permanently.
Is it a sanction fee for each division then? For women's body, for men's body? Oh,
yeah.
See, that I didn't know.
Yeah, that's the one thing. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's... probably would be the only thing to say, okay, well, the promoter can take, what is it, like $7,000, something like that?
Yeah, it's out of control. So it's,
you know. They can say, okay, there's $7,000 of profit.
$7,000?
Yeah, Chrissy, women will actually compete for $2. So you could save that $5,000 sanction fee and give it to the women and split it up, you know, for top three. You know,
wow,
so
$7,000. I didn't realize it was that much money to hold the show and to pay the sanction fees.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't quite understand this whole thing about the women not being cooperative or being disrespectful. Therefore, we're not going to let them compete anymore.
I'm hoping that now that Tampa's back on, you know, a huge number of female bodybuilders will come out there, do their thing, and gain more fans and gain more momentum for the women of the sport.
Yeah, well, you look at it. I mean, we're talking about these numbers. I mean, where you have an average of 20 women competitors at a bodybuilding show.
Mm-hmm.
how many people, you sit down and break it down, you know, how many people is each one of those women going to bring?
Yeah.
I know when I went, when I competed in Dallas, at the Europa, there were a ton of people from my region, from Louisiana, that came to see me compete. That it generates a lot of revenue.
Yeah, we women have a lot of friends and family, and, you know.
Yeah. So it's not all, you know, even if there wasn't any prize money, it would still be, you know, if you have just qualification for the Olympia, there would still be competitors competing. I mean, most of us aren't going to make any money anyway. You know, we're still going to show up to compete. I don't see why we're be punished by having our shows taken away.
Robin,
Do you think that if they added maybe, if they broke up the women's pro class into weight classes, do you think that would increase the number of entries? Maybe some women don't think they have enough muscle to maybe compete with, you know, the Irises out there, your Yatsanis.
No, because, again, it's like, I mean, who's going to compete against Iris? Anyway, you know, so, I mean, we're all competing for ourselves. It's not that we have, I mean, I don't see that the weight classes wouldn't make that much difference. It tends to distill the prize money, and also because where you'll have three qualifications, it'll only be two. So, what do you think, Colette? Do you think
it's
that,
such a weird? I know. The only way you think weight classes would work is if they gave three qualifying spots for the heavy and the light. I mean, because otherwise, you're right. It's only that's the top one and two, you know, the top one of each weight class. And then you're like, don't have weight classes, please. I'd rather have three spots, you know? It's weird. You almost think that it's such a toss up. You think, okay, well, that maybe that would get more of the smaller girls into doing the lightweight, but then you just further kind of like confuse female bodybuilding. I don't know. You know?
Yeah. Well, I know when JM was on the radio show and he was talking about the fact that, you know, women needed to get it together and kind of go and take a package to Betty and have her present it.
Right.
But, I mean, shouldn't Betty be involved in that whole process of putting a package together? I mean, it's just that lack of involvement that concerns me, and I think that it would be nice to have a women's rep who is actively involved. I don't know about, I mean, in the last 2 years, I mean, I pay my dues every year and all that. I haven't gotten any emails at all from Betty. Nothing telling me what's what. And there was one thing that came to my attention that was forwarded to me by an amateur. But it was an email that was sent out to all the pros by Betty, and I didn't get it. So I wrote to Betty and I said, "Hey, remember me? I'm a pro too. Can you put me on your mailing list?" And I still haven't received anything from that. So I don't know. Do you get anything, Colette? Any kind of announcement or anything?
You'd almost think that like you need somebody in that position that's not afraid to go where no one's gone before. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not be afraid to push buttons. And I don't know who that right person is. And it still looks like if you're a show promoter and you have to be worried and concerned about what you do and say, then things aren't going to change. You need somebody in there that's not afraid to try and to challenge new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And if without that, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, you're just treading water, really.
Yeah. It's, I mean, certainly it seems like just the main idea of getting rid of the sanction fee would be a big thing. After that, it's like, okay, well, now they can't use that as an excuse anymore.
Exactly.
They have to be able to include it. It's kind of sad.
I know. Well, Robin, I want to, God, we've had you on for, we can talk, man. We're going strong.
Yeah.
We want to have you back because I really, you know, you're not afraid to talk. And I think that we can just rehash ideas on we'll see how this year ends with female bodybuilding. We'll see how it goes with Tampa and Atlantic City and everything. I wanted to just kind of take a note. Is it true? Have you officially quit smoking?
Oh God, yeah.
Good girl.
Amazing.
I just wanted to
I mean, people that know me, you know I like to sneak, go back, you know, wherever, sneak cigarettes here and there. But yeah, I actually have things about the shoulder surgery.
Okay, so you're done. All right.
I knew that this was, I mean, first of all, I didn't want to do anything that was gonna jeopardize the healing process. And so I knew that it was something I had to really at least attempt to do. And I also knew that it was a good opportunity because I've always kind of felt like
you need to put me in a medical coma.
Right, right.
To get me over the...
It's the hardest addiction to break.
I know, just the craving part of it, you know, to get that stuff out of my system, you know. But in a way, it was kind of my own medically induced coma because I was taking so much pain meds for the shoulder. I mean, the shoulder really is... If you get this done, Khaled, I mean, it's no picnic. I mean, there was no way I was prepared for this, and I'd be happy to tell you more about it.
Yeah, we'll talk after.
It's intense, and it's really that's the word I'm looking for.
Debilitating, right?
Debilitating, thank you. It's much more than you can imagine, and much more painful than you can imagine.
Oh, God.
But, distant memory. The good thing, like I say, was that I was able to just kind of wean myself off, and then I went like that 3 days without, and then kind of okay, 4th day. And
you're like,
I think I'm probably about 225 days now.
Nice. Good.
I'm pleased. I'm so pleased with myself.
I know.
It's like, I can do anything.
If you can quit smoking.
if I did that, I can do damn well anything.
Well, yeah, that's awesome.
It's so awful, you know. Like, it's just the most addicting thing in the world, and I feel like such a burden has been lifted. So, yeah, I'm real happy about that. It makes a tremendous amount of difference in everything. Cardio, the way, unfortunately, the way food tastes.
Yeah, you said, yeah. Well, Robin, I want to definitely mention, before we let you go, we've got www.robinparker.com. It's .net.
No,
US.
.us.
Okay, so Robin.
I have to say, my website right now is not, I mean, it's okay, but it's like hasn't been updated in a long time. The guy that was doing my website, for me, I think when I fired him, he got pissed off and he shrunk my website.
The very typical behavior of these guys.
Because everything is really small on it, and I don't know.
It is small, yeah.
I haven't had any, you know, I haven't managed to find somebody yet to kind of go in there and redo it. But
you do have your contest prep services, and I want to promote those.
This year I'm taking the year off from the contest prep. I just needed to kind of step back from it. It's been really rewarding on a lot of levels, but I just felt like I needed to take a little break from it. Probably next year I'll get back into that.
Wonderful. And we want to have you on again, Robin. You are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Robin.
I love what you guys are doing. You know, it's a great thing that you're great service that you're providing to your listeners.
The women need a voice, Robin. If we have more personality, we have a voice, and we're not just people that just step up on stage and, you know what I mean? There's more to us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much the internet has changed our sport, and, you know, everything is immediate. We know what the results are the minute they happen, and it's just the pictures, everything. It's just great. Be able to have the feedback and be able to hear the personalities too, because a lot of people that you have an assumption about the way they are, and then you hear them on the radio, and it's kind of like, wow, you know, that person is cool.
Totally
it makes them more approachable. Like a certain people, like, you know, maybe people would be intimidated to talk to, you know, like a Jim Mannion, but after hearing him on the radio, they would be, you know, better able to say, okay, now I can actually go speak with the man. I know he's not going to bite my hat off.
Right. Well, Robin, thank you so much for today. It meant a lot to both Chrissy
welcome.
And I.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Chrissy, I think we had another successful show. And, I mean, wow, these ladies have a lot to say, Melissa Coates and Robin Parker.
Yeah, and it's great to see that, you know, aside from being pro competitors, you know, there's other avenues that other people are exploring now. So it's great to see them doing other things.
Yeah, it's never, you know, it's never too late to be the person you could have been.
Does that mean you're going to jump in a wrestling ring?
You know, gosh, in another life, Chrissy, in another life. Well, Chrissy, until next week, Muscle Girls, Inc., it's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RxMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RxMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.